Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we're going to be speaking about Mesira because it's in the headlines. The Gaivit of Yerushalayim, Rav Sternbuch, recently put out a letter. Can you report a community center, a store, a shul, etc., that is not practicing safe standards, either regard masking, social distancing, etc.? And we thought it would be a good time to talk about Mesira. Can you report a spouse who's abusive, who's beating their, somebody who's beating their spouse? Can you report a bad driver, a molester? The various halachas of Mesira, we have from New York, Rabbi Zalman Graus, who's particularly equipped to handle this because he is both a Talmud Chacham. He's printed many Svarim, Habari Vashema, I think 6 or 7 different Svarim. He's a world-famous Dayan, Toyin, and Boyer. He's been on the, he's editor of the Oitzer HaPoiskim, Magid Shia for many years, and Bells. But being a Dayan, he actually knows the reality of what goes on. From Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shmuel Wiener, the Rav of Sanhedria. Very interesting topic. And I think you'd find enlightening. As always, if you'd like to send in a comment, 732-806-8700, and for comments, it's 2. Or you can email us, info@headlinesbook.com. We do put up the comments and the letters online, where readers or listeners can access them, unless you request otherwise. Before we go to this, I'd like to say a few thoughts. You know, my producer said, you're speaking about topics that are unpopular, COVID, social distancing, etc. You got to go more popular. And, you know, I'm not a newspaper. I don't sell subscriptions. I don't sell ads. And I think it's more important, emes kneva, right? To tell the truth rather than just running the popular band, speaking into an echo chamber. This week, I was in Lakewood for a Levaya. A Yedid Nefesh, a Pinchas Gershon Waxman, who was just a Talmud Chacham and an Askin, like really an incredible Ben Taira, a yeshiva system that could put out somebody like him should be proud of itself. He is the example of the success of the American yeshiva chinuch system, was Nifta. And when I was there, I spoke to Rabbi Yehuda Kassira, and I was involved in the hospital, and this is, you know, what's going on in the hospital. 10 Yungalite have died in Lakewood since Yom Kippur. And this is what's going on in the hospitals around Lakewood.
Right now, the overwhelming majority, or at least the COVID ICU, currently has 5-6 from a patients. Most of the rest of that unit is pretty much empty. I'm sure there are some other patients there. But from COVID, unfortunately, we have 5-6 patients there as we speak right now. In Colombia, I mean, I speak to the Ascanum in New York on a daily basis. I don't have the exact number, but my understanding is that there's a very high population from Unzra Island there. But it's not a secret, and we all know that our daily lifestyle, unfortunately, you know, attracted in round one, and you know, Baruch Hashem, a fraction in round two. Our lifestyle really, you know, is about community. It's about shuls. It's about yeshivas. It's about chasanas.
I heard this. You know, the Fruma are really inordinately ill. The entire ICU is just with Fruma people. Then a well-known Rav sent me an email. He sent me the cover of this week's Yated, and it shows a fellow with a big black hat and a beard and a black jacket, white shirt. Hamisha-looking guy with his hand out thrust very aggressively, an very angry face. The title is, "What do they want from us? What do they want from the Fruma Yidin?" Right, these evil cops giving tickets. And then you turn to page one, and you know the editor has written, "The noose is tightening. We're not doing anything wrong. It's sort of Europe, 1939." Interesting. So then I turned out of curiosity, I bought the paper, and here's what's amazing. I don't know if the editor reads the inside of his paper, because I count like 6 pages of pictures of simchas. The Respla beer, bar mitzvah of cone, Lieberman chassin, Sheva brachis in Woodburn, I'm just going to turn page after page. The Ziller engagement, Morgenstern wedding, the Lobel chef. And guess what? Not a single mask to be seen. Like, if I was Governor Cuomo and I wanted to, like, use, you know, evidence, I would use this paper, the Bali Simcha at the Kohn Bar Mitzvah. You know, crowds of people, older people with white beards, not a mask or a distance in sight, right? Page after page, the Federer wedding, the Orlowick wedding, crowd, you got to see it. It's like a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. It's very serious. What's a joke is juxtaposing that. So I said, well, maybe there's no more social distancing in New York. So I pulled up NewYorkGovReopening.com. Masks and face coverings. Individuals must wear face covering when they are in public and are within 6 feet distance from other individual. Like Shachar Al Gabi Lovin, page 2. And you know, this reminded me, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to speak about something really important called self-delusion. I remember him talking about Bilam, right? What do we know about Bilam? Real bad guy, right? Yehedna meine kala on Bilam. But what did Bilam think about himself? Did Bilam think he was a bad guy? Reb Chaim used to say, Tomus nafshi mois yisharim, Bilam said, my misa should be like that of the avos. My ending should be like the same ending of the avos. We are the avos in Gan Eden. V'hi achrisei kamayu. I want to be like the avos. I want to, when I go, we go up to Gan Eden, we enter, God willing, if we're zoicha one day, and who's going to be sitting oben on? Bilam. V'hi achrisei kamayu. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to wonder, and he used to say, Leben hat er gewollt wie Bilamin. Starben hat er gewollt wie the avos akdashim. Reb Chaim used to say, the Gemara in Gittin says a story that Ilish was captured by pirates. And Ilish knew the language of the Ophis. So a Yoina came and it said, Ilish, brach, it's a good time. If you try to escape now, you'll be successful. And in those days, being a captive of pirates didn't have a good ending. The Gemara in Gittin talks about how they used to eat the people sometimes. Regardless, I don't know if these were cannibals. And there was another person there, there was a person, the Gemara says, who spoke the language of the Ophis. So Ilish turned around to this other fellow and said, what did the bird say? And the man listened, and then he said, Ilish brach. It's a fortunate time. It's an opportune time for you to escape. So Ilish said, okay, and he left. He escaped, and he was successful. So Reb Chaim said, Ilish knew the language of the Ophis. He heard the Ophis say, Ilish brach. Why did he turn to this other guy to ask him, what is the Ophis saying? Reb Chaim says, because what did Ilish want to hear? He really wanted to hear the Ophis saying Ilish brach, and he was worried that he was deluding himself. So when the other person, he turned to this other person, he said, what did he say? And he said Ilish brach. He knew that he wasn't suffering from self-delusion. And I think fooling ourselves, so when you're saying, what do they want from us? But there's page after page of people dancing and hugging and singing, and older people, right, who are really at risk. Do you know that if you're in your 70s or 80s, you go from 20 to 30% fatality rate? And I know that it's a disease for younger people, but guess what? If you have a comorbidity, it's much more dangerous. Do you know what percentage of Americans have comorbidities? 45%, that's according to Yale. So I just look at this and I think to myself, it's a shame. It's sad that the Yeted has taken this attitude. Rabbeisai, what are your thoughts? 732-806-8700, press number 2. That's for what the B'nai HaYeshiva have to say. Or info@headlinesbook.com. We will post both messages, voicemails, as well as written, unless you request otherwise. But we're interested in what the Olam has to say. And I understand that they do it because they have to sell papers and we have to be popular. But if we're in a position of leadership, and I think anybody who has a paper is or has a microphone is, there's two ways to lead. There's one way to lead from the back. There's what is everybody doing? And then to just jump on the bandwagon. And the other way is to lead from the front. The Jewish way of leadership is, it says, Chazal say that Shaul lost the Malucha. And Chazal say why? Because he said, Yoresi, I listened to the people. I was afraid. I didn't want to be unpopular. And Shaul said, and Shmuel said, you know what? You can't lead from the back. You can't be a leader by your Yoreisiyasam v'eshma b'kailam. Right? David HaMelech said, you know why? Avicha bachar bi mikol beisai? Because I led from the front. I did things that were unpopular. When he was Merakid Lefnei Aaron, this is what he told Michal Bashol. I led with what I believed, not with what. So I'll tell you, you know, I was in shul recently. I go, but I don't go inside. And I daven on the side and outside. And somebody comes over to me, says, like, why don't you come in? Or David, come in. And I say to him, I said to him, what I say, you know, I'm a working person. I live in the working world. And I frequently, could you come eat with us? And I say the same thing. I have the same. I said, you know, I explained to people. I said, look, I'm Orthodox. I'm Jewish. I can't do that. So this guy, I turned to this guy. I said, I'm sorry, I can't go in. He says, why? I said, because I'm Orthodox. I'm Jewish. And I have different rules. So this Hamish guy looks at me. He says, you're Orthodox. What does that have to do with this? Why can't you go in? I said, let me list the problems. Start with Lo Sirtzach. I said, you know, COVID is not like asthma. It's not like cancer. It's not like Crohn's disease, colitis, and many others. The only way to get COVID is because somebody else infected you. Every person who died had a reitzeach. Could be b'shoyge, could be b'oynis, but every single one was killed by somebody else. So I said, problem, suffix. If I'm asymptomatic, I could be over leisirtzach. I could be over leisamed al damriyecha. For myself, if I get it, right, because nobody in the shul wears a mask, I'm over hishamer lecha ushmar nafshecha ma'od iser asei. Also, another iser, number four, ushmartem ma'od lenafshecheichem. If I'm negligent, and I know that it's a hot spot, where I live is certainly a hot spot, right? It's on the Rockland County map. I'm also oivand isa. Vezdimchem lenafshecheichem. Last week's Pasha, Rashi says, based on the Gemara, that it has a dinam abidatz miladas. Putting yourself, the Rambam says, "Kola oimer hareini misakein atzmi." I'm willing to put myself at risk. Oyeini makbed al kach. I'm not careful. The Rambam calls him a chayte. Okay, number six. I'm over v'haftal areicha kamoicha. Or makareyu b'seiser. And did anybody here ever learn nashim nizikim? You know, we learn Baba Kama. We get 100,000 listeners or so a month. I'll bet you a dollar that out of our 100,000 listeners, nobody ever had a shoyer, kiigach shoyerish a shoyer, that was gored his friend's ox. Anybody want to take the other side of that bet? That's not Baba Kama today. But we know, Reb Baruch Ber, Reb Chaim, etc., Reb Elchanan, there's an issa to be chayvel b'chaveri, there's an issa mazik. Baba Kama today is. So I said to this fellow, I said, I have 10 isuri daraisa. I said, are you makbid on Chol of Yisrael? Hamish says, of course. I said, that's a, you know, you have Roiv Behemis Bad Eider Anat, you have the Prichadosh is Matar, some Soif has thing, Ramosha, but all these Isur, Chumris and Chumris and Chumris, but on 10 possible Isuri Daraisi, I said, I'm sorry, I'm Orthodox, I can't go in. And I know everybody's tired. It's really, I have severe COVID fatigue personally. I'm an extrovert. I like people. My office has been closed now since March. I have severe, and it's cost me severe COVID fatigue. But, you know, I'm Orthodox again. And, you know, I make 36,000 brachas a year because my religion requires it. 1,000 minyanim a year because my religion requires it. So as Orthodox, I don't suffer. I shouldn't be suffering fatigue as many other people. That's my comment, and I think when we have a paper, we have responsibility, and putting somebody into paper, what are we doing besides the absurdity of it? I think having pictures of older people and Rabbanim and younger people, what's the message we're sending? We're sending a message, the law isn't relevant to me. Not only isn't the law not relevant to me, Metzius is not relevant to me, which is why Rabbi Kassira said, every single bed in the ICU in Jersey Shore, which is not in Lakewood, it's in Neptune, New Jersey, surrounded almost only by Geisha communities. All the ICU is full of Ruma people, maybe because Allah is not wrong. But since we already had Rabbi Kassir on, let's listen to this clip about all the chesed that's going on.
Thousands of patients that have received plasma donations in the tri-state area alone we could say pretty much because of a couple of Fruma people that took the initiative going back in April and went all the way out over the summer. There were tens of thousands of plasma donations that were that were made, and these patients were treated. These patients were treated, and we've seen that turn into a we've seen that turned into a tremendous thing. On the Bikichaylam end over here, and Baruch Hashem, we have the all the friendship houses across the country. We're housing at any given time between 100 and 150 people in all the houses. And you're talking about the amount of ramp up that these places had. That means the people that are constantly staying in places because there's unfortunately patients that are not just coming and going from hospitals. These patients are there to transportation, patients that needed patients and family members that needed to be transported from one city one city to another city. We've seen on the we've seen on the you know on the Chesed Shalemis and the, you know on the Mesim and the Neftarim from this the amount of planes the private planes that people took to Eretz Yisrael to fly Neftarim to make sure that they were taken to Kruger. There were tens of patients that people you know there were people that even hired private jets to take tens of patients to Eretz Yisrael. I know one story who donated
it. You mean they did it as a mitzvah?
People that did it L'shem mitzvah. Yeah,
and a private jet to Eretz Yisrael. You're talking probably $200,000.
$200,000-$300,000 per flight. I mean.
People are donating that for Mason.
My brother Yechiel is the coordinator from Misaskim over here in Lakewood. One Sunday afternoon, him and a few volunteers loaded a plane with 34 Neftarim from the tri-state area. This is going back shortly after Pesach.
34 Neftarim to go to Eretz Yisrael.
Correct.
Amazing.
I want to go to another thing in the news. I'm a fan of the Satmar Rebbe. I had a story with him. It was, I think, in the 90s. I was in by Srilovich's hotel. There's a hotel someplace in Vermont, I think it is, or New Hampshire. It's New Hampshire. Srilovich in the middle of nowhere. And when my kids were little, I used to rent the camper. We would drive up to Vermont. We would stay there for Shabbos. We would hook in. And the Satmar Rebbe was invariably there. So what happened was I had a building, and I was having terrible problems with the township. They were making me crazy. So I figured, he must be a smart man. I went over to him and I said, Rebbe, could I ask you a question? He said, yeah, it was after davening. I said, I have a problem with the township. Could I, I'm thinking of suing them. What do you think? And he looked at me. He says, you never get into a fight with the townships, with cities, with governments. You're always going to lose. They have endless time, endless money. You're going to cause sinus Yisrael. They're going to look at you different. Gay norm and goodness. And here's a clip of the Satmar Rebbe saying the very same thing. We're in Gullus. We have to go with goodness.
In Zemmel in Gullus. In Zemmel in Gullus, America. It's machme mich for kamen himmels in the gassen. Jüdische Kinder. Zemmel in Gullus. In Zweisman Zemmel in Gullus. Chulile mechalile. Zitzestein zu dem.
So here's my question. This is the Satmar Shita, and it's not a new Shita. If you look in the Divrei Yoel from his grandfather, the great, the Lagula of Alatmura, it's so many times it's hard to count. But the Inyan Zeh writes about the Gimel Shvuas, which he held, he'll bring his Yerig Val Yavar, which is not accepted halachically. Shala Yimredu Ba'umais, Osa Lasais, Shum Pe'ula, Shegoyrim Hiskarais Ba'umais. Calls man shenim tsoyim begoyla. Don't poke the bear. Like he said, we are guests. V'chein matzino sholcha estel chachamim kavuni l'doiris. So they said kina atama iris aleinu lebeina umais. Don't. Rashi says smeichem anu. We don't want to. Right. He says this. We'll put on our side, but it's got to be a dozen times in his svarim. And then he learns up a Maralmi Prague, which. Again, I don't want to get into it, but it's not accepted halachically, and it's not accepted. This is pshat in the morale. He brings shekasa who yerig val yaver laskaris beumais. It's not like kol v'yisrael or mikvah. It's yerig val yaver. So I ask you, how could we have weddings
And that as health officials break up a wedding that would have had 10,000 guests in Brooklyn.
In Monroe, there was one with thousands of people. You could see it on Google. And the government had to go in and stop a 10,000-person wedding in Williamsburg by the Rebbe. And it got a lot of press. Why does Hiskaris B'Umois, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Yerek Val Yaver? Or he actually told me myself, Yerek Val Yaver, he didn't say Yerek Val Yaver, but he said Hiskaris B'Umois, you know, in a thing. When it comes to making weddings at a time when the most sensitive thing is the Goyim are afraid, you know, we have a long history of Eva, especially when it comes to plague. In the Black Plague, the Jews were accused. Jews were beheaded. They were whole communities destroyed. They made a kinnis about it, right? There's kinnis about the Black Plague and how they accused Jews of poisoning the wells. If you say it's Yerek Val Yaver and wearing gulls, how do you make 10,000 person weddings? Just asking a steerer sort of in this behavior, unless something has changed, maybe. Notwithstanding my question about the seeming contradiction in the Satmar Shita about Siskara B'Umais, Gabi Israel, but here in America it's fine, Satmar does amazing things. Here's a story, a wonderful story that happened this week in Lakewood, where a young Satmar boy saved a Reish Kohl's wife's life with a kidney donation. Listen to this story.
Joining us from New York is Rav Pinchas Glauber. He's a young man with a remarkable story. Reb Pinchas, I understand you were approached about doing a kidney donation, and tell us the story.
I am 21 years old. I was learning in the Satmi Yeshiva over there in Monroe, and it's a very funny story. I was a chusn, and so it was basically the few months before my wedding. I was like not 100% in yeshiva. I was basically in and out, just like stepping in. I was going to a hospital shift for a few organizations, and my mother lives in Williamsburg, so I was sleeping by my cousin. I was not sleeping more in dorm because I didn't was 100% in yeshiva. One night, I come back from my hospital shift. It was late at night, and it's no more supper in yeshiva, no more delis, groceries, restaurants open in Monroe. And I was looking where I can find some food to eat. I asked someone, I was in the shield in Monroe, asking, where can I get some food? It's late at night, it's 10:45, no groceries opened, nowhere. He answered me, listen, across the street in the hall is a kidney drive for renewal. It's food there, go, take a swap, and you can eat something. So I didn't know that it's a kidney drive. I didn't know anything about it. I went to the kidney drive. I was eating something, and I take the swap, and I really forgot that I take the swap. And this summer, I got a phone call. Hi, we are calling from renewal. You are a match. So I say, no problem. And right now, I'm just with one kidney.
And did you ask your wife? Are you married yet or no?
I'm married. I have already a baby, too.
And what did your wife say? What did your share say?
Okay. I got this phone call, and I missed this phone call. I got a phone call from the director from Renewal, Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz. He's a very nice guy. And I missed the phone call, so he left me a message. I was driving, and I see I have a few missed messages. And I was listening to my messages. In the 2020 world, you got every day so many phone calls and spams with machine phone calls and rubber calls. So basically, I was listening to the message. And meanwhile, hey, hi, this is Chaim Steinmetz. I called from Renewal. I basically deleted this message. And my wife was in the car to get me and say, hey, it's something, a message from renewal. Did you ever test yourself for renewal? And I say, not what I remember. And after a few minutes, I say, yes. What was I remember? Yes, I was got a test one time. I called back the number this next day in the morning. And I say, hi, I got a missed call from renewal. And I got a message that I'm a match. I deleted this message. I didn't hear basically the message. And some lady from the office picked up the phone. Can you tell me, please, what the office say? Yes, you are a match. And I'm not responsible in this case, so Mr. Steinmetz will call you back. So I call back my wife, and I ask my wife, yes, I'm a match. And she answered me right now, why not? So let's do it. So I decided, if my wife is so happy, why not? Let's do it. Basically, renewal told me you are so young, we need the permission from your father, mother, father-in-law, and mother-in-law. My father-in-law is a medic. And Atsula, he basically said, no, I know the process, it's nothing, you can do it. My father and my mother was a little bit afraid about it. My mother, because, you know, my mother's heart was afraid, you know, it's surgery, I don't know. And my father was afraid a little bit because you are so young, how do you know, maybe it will be a problem with your job because you will miss so much from the job. So then we decided, I'm ready to do it. We will go and ask the rabbi. If the rabbi said yes, is yes. If he said no, is no. So I went to New Hampshire. I was in the summer in New Hampshire, and I asked the rabbi if so I do it or not. And he asked me, yes, you shall do it. So then I decided, okay, we go ahead.
So this is Reb Aaron, the rabbi in New Hampshire?
Yes.
I have a question for you, Reb Pinchas. Did it? You care if the recipient was a Hasidish, Litvish, Ashkenazi, Sephardi?
As they asked me about the recipient, I asked who is the recipient. I'm not allowed to answer. I was asking one thing. I need she should be a Shlomit Torah mitzvah, but not he should just go in Shul Yom Kippur and candlelight on the last Friday night. I need a real Shlomit Torah mitzvah. And by the way, my recipient is not Hasidish. She is Litvish from Lakewood.
A real tzaddik of a Reish Kail's wife, I understand, right? A Goyin's wife.
Yes, she is a real Heinrich Litvish guy.
Did it bother you that her husband's a Goyin, I know him. Did it bother you that it wasn't a Hasidish person?
No, not at all. I was just for one thing, for a Shlomit Torah mitzvah.
Reb Pinchas, do you think it's interesting that a Satmara Yungaman Bachar almost from Monroe is saving the life of a Reish Kail Lakewood's wife, and at the same time that when a Lubavitch Chassid, the Rabashkin, was in jail, the most money that was raised was in Satma and in Lakewood. Do you think that's interesting?
It's not interesting because this is me, Kam Yisroel. And by the way, I went to a kidney drive this Motzei Shabbos in Lakewood, and I spoke to a few other kidney donors, and this was real Litvish kidney donors. And I asked him, for who did you donate? He answered, for Satma Chassid in Williamsburg. This is how our community is working. When you're going into the hospital before the surgery, they're asking you a lot of questions. If you find the guy and you will not be happy, anything. And I was asking later at the hospital, they answered me, every Jew is coming in is with such, why should I not do it? To save a Jewish life. I don't care who it is. I save a Jewish life. It's a mitzvah. I want to do it. This is what Klal Yisrael is.
Thank you very much.
And the baddest feeling, after donating the kidney is basically, why can I can't do it for again? I want to do it again. I wish I can do it again. This is the bad feeling. I have it later.
At Pinchas, you should be benched. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Shlokhe Rabbah.
Okay, one of the things, by the way, we're going to be discussing with Rabbi Grouse that I just want to give a heads up on is, I got an email from Rabbi Shmuley Apsfeld. He said, I mentioned in a last program that there's a din of Dina the Malchusa Dina about, you know, listening to their laws about wearing masks, etc. And he says, Dina the Malchusa Dina, if you look in simple Shulchan Aruch, has mostly to do with misim, he asked me. He says, if the government asks you to wear a red hat, do you have to wear a red hat? Of course not. And I was going to address it beforehand. But instead, I will address it. Rabbi Grouse actually wrote about it in his Sefer HaBori VaHashema, so I thought we would address it then. Before we go to our halachic part, I would like to say a vort in Agada on the Parsha. This week, and I've said this once before, but some Torahs that they just become more meaningful on you as time goes on. And this is certainly an Eis Tzara LeYaakov. You know, people lost their parnasa, there's Yisaimim, Almanis. And so the first encounter where Avram Avinu, right, Avram Oyavi, has with Kav Yachol, is the first Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha. Amar Reb Yitzchak. Echad haya oiver mi makim l'ram makim. There was somebody traveling The Rav Bira de Lekes, he saw a burning palace. He says, where is the owner of this Bira? Now, the Middle East didn't have a lot of structures made out of wood. So who built the structure out of wood that was burning? And who was this Balabira? Says Rabbeinu Shalom came, hey, Tzitzal of Balabira. And Rabbeinu Shalom, you said, Ani Balabira. But did Rabbeinu Shalom really build that palace in the middle of the desert? Where, like, So I think, and I've heard the pshat, I think it's a right pshat. The Bira that Avram is talking about is the world. And the world is a beautiful palace. I mean, just take a walk through the autumn. It's just the colors and the rivers. And we live in a beautiful world. We also live in a world that has a lot of problems. I mean, just ecologically, we have tornadoes, global warming, tsunamis, droughts. Vahirav Baretz was a drought. Droughts were a real thing then. Global warming not, but droughts, right? He looked around. He saw all this pain. Then he looked on national levels. He saw oppressors. And trust me, it wasn't like then. You had the Hitlers and the Mao Tse-tungs and the Chavezes. And I mean, you had a lot of really bad people. It caused a lot of innocent people pain. Then on a sociological level, we have anti-Semitism and racism and misogyny. On a personal level, we have cancer. We have COVID. We have disease. We have orphans. We have a lot of bad things happening to good people. And he said, "Mi balabira, who is running the asylum? Where is God?" That was Avram's question. Hates it's all of balabira. So it's a metaphor. And Rabbeinu Shalom jumps out. And what does he say? Anihu bala oilam yisavu hamelech yafyech. You want to know where God is? I have a question for you. Rabbeinu Shalom asks, where are you? Where is man? And this is how I understand the question. You know, there's two ways to look at it. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, I created a beautiful world, right? But there's pain in it. And somebody could look at the pain and they could say, where is God? Or they could say, you know, 7 days, the Rabbeinu Shalom created heaven and earth, right? The eighth day, I give the key to you. There's a little bit left. There's a disease. I left something for you. When a Jew looks at the pain in the world, a Buddhist looks at pain and he said, pain is all in the mind. A Christian looks at him and he says, in the kingdom to come, there will be no pain. That's how a Jew looks at it and he says, there's pain in the world. You know why? The Rabbeinu Shalom wanted me to become a shutif b'maisa b'reishis. When you see an orphan, it's not why, where was God when he killed his father? It's where am I to take the child to shul, to make sure that the mother isn't crying every night, that the mortgage is covered, that there's food in the cupboard, that there's a tutor to replace what the father would have been doing. It's our chance to become partners. Don't ask where is God. God is looking for you. The Rabbeinu Shalom is looking for you to become his partner, to step up to the plate. That is the Jew's response to tzarist, right? To COVID, to almanis, to yisaimim, to disease, whatever. Where are we? And when does that happen? 7 days created heaven and the earth. When does Avram step in? Bishminis. The mitzvah of Avram, Mila, is Bishminis. The eighth day is when v'yis'avu ha-melech yafyech, when we take over, we could look up and say, partner, I'm fixing the last little few percent that you left for me, right? Avos heinei ne'merkava. Let me share with you a story. So there's this guy, he comes to his Rebbe, his tzaddik, Rashiva, whoever, and he says, you know, Rebbe, I've been such a good, you know, Jew most of my life. I've donated, I've worked, I've given. I have a dream to see Eliyahu HaNavi. Could you please get me to see Eliyahu HaNavi? So this old tzaddik looks at him and he says, you know, it's not easy to see Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, please, please. He says, listen, this is what you should do. You know, it's Rosh Hashanah in a few weeks. There's an almana in your neighborhood. They don't have what to eat. I know, Erev Rosh Hashanah, stop by. Bring a big box of stuff. Everything they need for Rosh Hashanah. Food, drinks, wine, simanim. Knock on the door in the morning. just say, it's the Kavod Yom Tov, and run away before they see you. So the guy fills a box with fish and challah and harein and everything. He goes, knocks on the door, he has footsteps, says it's the Kavod Yom Tov, runs away. That Rosh Hashanah, he's checking, nothing. Comes before Sukkot, goes back to the rabbi. He says, listen, you know, it didn't work. So he says, look, Sukkot is coming. They don't have again. So bring for 7, 8 days, 9 days with Simchas Torah, food and challah and fish and flour, everything. Drop the 6 boxes, knock on the door, say, when you hear, it's a Kavod Yom Tov, and run away. Guy does it again. Mamish, kol tov he brings. That Sukkot by night, the Sukkot door opens. He turns around. He's expecting Eliyahu HaNavi. And who is it? It's the next door neighbor's wife. They're missing a cup of sugar. She forgot to buy the short of sugar. The next morning, every time the Sukkot door opens, he's waiting, maybe nothing. Okay, before Hanukkah, he goes back to his rabbi. He says, listen, I really want to see. I tried twice. He said, let's try one last time. It's coming Hanukkah. Go buy. The kids don't have coats for the winter. Buy coats. Buy presents, whatever. Leave it on the door. Knock and run. Say it's for COVID, Hanukkah, and run away. So he goes, he buys coats and toys and goes on Amazon, whatever. Knocks on the door, hears footsteps, says, it's for COVID, Hanukkah, and runs away. As he's running away, he hears a little child yelling, Mommy, you were right. It's Eliyahu HaNavi. So he goes back to the Rebbe and he tells him the story. And he says, listen, I couldn't show you Eliyahu HaNavi. I did something even better. I made you into Eliyahu HaNavi. That's the eighth day. And you know, the Avis were called gods. Havu Lashem b'nei Elim. The Yaakov Kareel, it says. What does that mean? Balakaychis Kulam. We, in effect, represent the Rabbeinu Shel Elim to fix that little bit of the Bria that he left for us. How empowering that we could become b'nei Elim, that we could become partners. And I think that at a time like this, when there are so many new almanas and so many new yesaimim, that this vart is particularly powerful. It's our chance to become partners. Let's go to our riddle of the week. I'll ask two riddles. I don't have particular confidence in either one, so... It says in this week's parsha, Hine no yadati ki isha yafas mara'at. I just found out. So the marsha asks, I don't understand. Avram Avin was Makayim kala Torah kula. And the Gemara says, Asa lekadesh isha ad sheirena, shema yiraba davar maguna v'tiskana alav, and obyeva haftal rech kamaycha. So yes, Avram was Makayim kala Torah kula, even isuri drabanan. How could he say, Hine no yadati, like Rashi says, I just found out, Isha yafas marat. That is one kasha. And then I'm going to ask another one, one riddle. Minig Yisrael is Torah. My name is David. I'm named after my grandfather. He was the Rav of Providence, Rav David Werner. My son, Maishi, was born, he was named after Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was born by his Levi, basically. The others, we don't find any of the Avos or the Shvatim who named after a father or grandfather. Why wasn't one of the Shvatim called Avram Yitzchak? He had 12 sons. They should have been fighting. Is it after the I get first, you get first. No names were given. Same thing. B'nai Aaron or B'nai Moshe. B'hemshech HaDoros. Find me somebody who's named. Why did Moshe name his son Avram? Or Aaron name his son Avram? Or any of the other names of the Torah? Kairach, where are all the Avos' names in the Torah? Single one is not a single person in the Torah is named after the Avos. That is our second riddle of the week. As always, if you'd like to send in a comment, 732-806-8700. And for comments, it's 2. Or you can email us info@headlinesbook.com. We do put up the comments and the letters online where readers or listeners can access them unless you request otherwise. Let's go to our guests.
from Borough Park is Reb Zalman Graus. He's the Mechaber of 6 or 7 Sfarim, Habori Vashema, which I actually just recently enjoying very much. Fabulous shtickle he wrote on Dina de Malchus Adina. Maybe if we have some time, we'll talk about it. Just really wonderful. He's written on Rishuyos for Erevin, which is one day we hope to do here in this program. The Borough Park Erev, I'm sure he's an expert in. Birchas Alechem. He was a Magid Shir in Bells for many years, and one of the editors in Eretz Yisrael of the Oitzer HaPoiskim. He's arguably the preeminent expert in Dayanis, Toyanus, Boirus here in America. Welcome, Rabbi Graus.
Hi, good morning.
So, Rabbi Graus, I want to talk about a sensitive topic, which is Mesira. And I'm going to throw a question at you, and feel free to talk about your experience in these issues, as well as what your opinions are. So, your wife goes to the local grocery store, supermarket, and she comes home and she tells you, you know, Reb Zalman, it's amazing. There's not a single person there wearing a mask. And yesterday, I was at the Levaya of so-and-so. Like, why aren't people taking this seriously? Could I call the local health department and tell them, in so-and-so supermarket, there's nobody wearing a mask, they're putting people at risk? What would you say?
Okay, this question has many, many layers. And I would start with the first layer of this question. The question is, do, from religious point of view, forget about from this Dina de Malchuse, from the regulations, from religious point of view, do we have to wear masks? That is the first question. And I'll give you only the general rules in Halacha of Shmiras HaGuf, Shmiras HaNefesh. I have written on that also in topic in my last Chelik. This was before Corona. A big, big essay there. In short words, I would put it, what is the limit, what a person has to do for his life? What are the rules? Let's put it in a different way. There is Arbot Zrichim Lehoidos. Everybody knows what does it mean. Hochemid Boreas, all kind of, and you come home, you say, Goimul Chasod. That means you were in a midbar where there's highest torfos, and you were nitzel. You bring a korban, or you, what did you do there? There was a cause of ashes. Is the Poskim speaks about that in the Hebraeus and the Gemoras, that the Medibuda speaks at length on that, that something is a concept, what you do something for a livelihood, and you take some risk in life. You have to take some risk. This is Benafshe Yovi Lachmoy. The question is, what the purpose, and what is the common way how people deal with that? We know Hamiris Kantem Yisura. What does it mean? What does it mean? There is a way that people has to deal with the skona, other way that you deal with the surah. What I put this key issue is what has to do kederach hashomrim. This is the entire issue is we learn that chazal dashnet from shmartem snapshe sechem. That means you are obligated to be a shomer on your nefesh. Ha a shomer. Let's say you close the door at night. You don't go rov. You don't go mute. There is a concept what people close, put locks on their doors. That's what a shomer does when he keeps also other person's money. The same way that he keeps his own money or own livelihood. There are people that don't close at night. That is not something in the regular. Maybe in the some places in Muncie, I don't know. Maybe in Muncie they feel more secure, but not in New York. That's mean kederach hashomrim. You have to behave like people, normal people, behave in this kind of situation. That is the parameter of how you have to behave. In some ways, if you have for parnasse, the Noidibida says that also you don't, it also limits what you have to do. But you do more, people go on scaffolds on the 10th floor. And unfortunately, it happens a lot of accidents, as you know.
It's a Gemara. I live a Sulam. There's a certain heter, it seems, for Parnasa.
Yes, yes, yes. But also there is limitation. And what the limitations are logically, what is commonly accepted. We, in our time, I understand that's universal. Universal rules. Some are more strict, some are more enforceable. Some, but the universal concept is against this sickness, or whatever you call it, is to put on masks. And this is something, an obligation from a person to do that, prime facie. You may discuss, you may have other people, but this is the halacha. The halacha, it doesn't give exact where in what in every situation. Situation is what people do. If people don't do that, maybe you're not obligated to do that, even if you take some risk. That is from Shmias HaNefesh point of view. From the other point of view, from Dina de Malchus Dina, or from...
And therefore, what are you saying here? Many people, the rule in New, the law in New York State is that, at least as of right now, that all public gatherings, people have to socially distance or wear a mask. So does that go into the norm, if that's what the government expects? And the truth is, you know, I haven't been going out that much, but I was in Manhattan 2 days ago, and I saw that on the street, which is really a chumrah, it's not, I would say 75% of people were wearing masks, and this is not in an enclosed area. So my question would be is, do you look at what, as a general rule, people are doing, in your neighborhood people are doing, like how would you define that?
Look, I have no, like everybody may say his own svaras. I don't like that. I like to say something what the halacha gives us.
I'm asking you. So what is it?
The halacha gives the parameters what is accepted way. 75% does something that the 25 is the minority, and the primogodim say the sofik nefoshes is lahachmer. The zokter in that primogodim zokt because lemaisi is a gemara. Maish is one of the ten, but if it's a suffix, not one of the ten, the question. The question is if there is a consequences, or in our situation. But definitely, I would say that you have to do that. There's no question about it. If 75% of people go, the question is what you may raise. Do they go because Shmias Nefesh or go because the law? But I don't see a big difference, because the law is also created for Shmias Nefesh. It's not created for to make us uncomfortable.
Right.
This is a universal. This is something that has nothing to do with Jewish or not Jewish. This is not was not created for against Borough Park Jews, Borough Park. This was created to keep the healthy the people.
That okay, is, so therefore...
We accounted a lot of... Now we'll go to the next question,
okay.
And then we'll go to the third. The next question is about Dina de Malchus, what people speak about. But Dina de Malchus, first let me say what it is and when it is. Dina de Malchus in original means Malchus, not legislation, but legislation is also the same thing. And I'll give you a little bit of example what the poskim, how they determined what Dina de Malchus is. They told Toiva Samadine. What does it mean, Toiva Samadine? Toivas HaMedina doesn't mean the Toivas, the poor people, or the rich people, or whatever. Toivas HaMedina means the Toivas HaMedina. Now, I'll give you an example. If in that, what the Poskim doesn't say the example, but that exactly what they mean with different words. If you go in a hotel, the hotel owner, the hotel management, will tell you how to drive to the parkway, where's the way in, where's the way out, where you should locate it, your stuff, how you behave in this place. They won't go mix in if you make a private deal with your neighbor there, what you do. But you cannot endanger, you cannot make a lot of noise, you cannot do anything what's not to help this management to keep the environment in a normal environment. That is the duty of a hotel. And that was usually the Malchus was in this in this he was operating to have this, the Toivas B'nai HaMedina. In private conflicts, usually in the old time, was different as of our time. Even in our time, the jurisdiction of the courts is different than jurisdiction of management for the governor or the executive branch has a different kind of different duties. This all kind of these kind of rules is exactly from the executive branch. What this what we mean dina de malchus le toivas b'nei hamedina. That is the second.
So, for example, issue. Rabbi Grau, so for example, if somebody says, listen, I looked in the Gemara, I looked in the Rishonim, and it doesn't say anywhere that I can't drive the wrong way down a one-way street.
Exactly, exactly.
Right? So, exactly. Somebody's going to come and say, Dina d'malchusa dina, the Gemara says, be'ikar, it's on misim and monetary matters. So what should stop me from going through red lights, going through stop signs, driving the wrong way on a highway? L'chaira, there's no din of dina d'malchusa dina. And I actually got this question from a gentleman from Lakewood. He says, who says, bring me a raya that dina d'malchusa has to do with something that is not monetary? How would you respond to him?
He's totally wrong.
But you have to bring a raya. Rabbi Graus, you have to bring a raya, that's all.
Simon Kuf Samach Bey Sif Aleph. That's the Chuvah Sarajba, what I mentioned before. And there are more Paschim so. In Kuf Samach Beis. Look in Reish Zion Sif Tesuof. Yes, you're asking me what I should look. Dinat Malchus and Nichas Tfilin? Everything what is between two persons. Ishin Num Vov Sif Zion. Ishin Samach Tes. Sif Vov. In Sif Ches.
Could you read it, Rabbi Graus? Could you read it?
I'm telling you 10 times.
Anyone,
if you want, I should read. I may read you all of them.
Just read one of them. Read the last one. Reish Zion Tezvav.
Avedis. You find an Avedis. In Gozer HaMelech, Oyabezen Chayv Lachzim Mikom Dinach de Malchus.
But Rabbi Graus, let me just explain to you what my friend from Lakewood is asking. He's asking like this.
No.
I'm saying pshat. In the Gemara in Gittin, there's two Dan Diyamrim in the Gemara, where the Din of the Malchusa is only on shtaris that have to do with the Melech, or any shtaris ben Adam Lachaveri, shtaris Mekech Umemkar.
So the Shulchan Aruch Paschim... from ten places in Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
I'm reading you from 10 places in Shulchan Aruch. You want, I go by four. I start with Simon Gimel Siv Dalet.
Okay, read.
If the Melech. In Gomer V'Sober, Mahane L'Shus HaMelech. That means a Dayan. Kiblu HaKol, a Pik Sav HaMelech, Yocholod. Yes, Shomerim. In Gomer V'Sober, Mahane L'Shus HaMelech, Asar HaMemune B'Yiroi, V'Ze Have B'Chlal Dinen Machusa, Lo Yishiv Dayonim V'Shoftim She'Yirtze. That's mean. He may, the Melech on the Sar HaMemune B'Yiroi, can appoint a Dayan. That is.
But is he talking about a dying for dinei mamonis? That's the question.
Again, let me explain to you. You call dinei mamonis, you call something exactly driving in the wrong direction is not dinei mamonis. I mean dinei mamonis by me is the interpreted between one person to the other person. That's it's called relationship between. People, among people, that is the same as Din Mamoinus. Yes, when you have to say what Esreg you should take, then has nothing to do with the Malchus. But every relationship, what between people, as I told you, for example, you keep a noise, that is between people. That is in the category of Choshen Mishpat, excuse me. Shmiras HaNefesh, where is it in Choshen Mishpat? Where is it?
The whole Shmiras HaNefesh, basically. But let's say the government
the main simon,
right?
The last simon is Shulchan Aruch.
Tavchav Dalos, yeah.
What is this? Why is this in Chosh Mishpat? Why is this in Chosh Mishpat? Why is not in Orachaim? Or in Yerdeye? because this is something what has to do between you and your friend. Let me tell you a little bit. It's nothing to do with your question. Orachaim is something what has to do with time. Between you and the Rebbeinu Shalom, it has to do with time. Yoredeya is something what has to do in not in time. This is something, Shchita has nothing to do with time, seasons of the year. It is something what has to do without a season, particular season. Then, is for example, Ribbis is also in Yoredeya because it's more an Isser than a moment. It comes to Choshimish Ebenezer. Ebenezer is something that you have to do between your wife, you and your wife. Choshimish Bet is between you and your neighbor or your friend, whatever. The in Choshimish Bet is the place of Shmira Sanefesh. That's Shmira Sanefesh is a part of Choshimish Bet. If we say Dine de Malchuse Dine between you and your friend, it's nothing to do actually money or actually Baniske Shchenim. Is also written the same thing. Niske Shcheinim is also not actually asking you money, asking to prevent, not looking, not bother your Shochem. What I don't see any difference between Shmias and Nefesh. I don't speak about you yourself, between you and your friend. You watch on your friend, not to mazik the friend, that is Chosh Mishpat. That has to do clear within the Malchus, there's no question about it. If you drive wrong, you are able to hit your friend, or you double park. You double park, actually, you take away the right of the other person to pass by. It's even more than the Malchus. You're taking away his right. You may, maybe as a part of Gezel.
Bottom line is, your point is that anything that has to do with Shmiras HaNefesh, certainly somebody else's life, which when wearing masks is to prevent the other person from getting sick, falls into Chayshin Mishpat, and therefore, since it's Chayshin Mishpat, less Manda Polig that will be on Adina the Machus Adina.
Yes, if it's Letoivas B'nei Amdina. Every Din Machus has some limitations, but this is no question about it. It falls under the question of Dina. That is exactly done for Toivas B'nei Medina, specifically on the streets, but even in private places. If this is can cause something for other person, that's between you and your brother, but on that, Zakna Dimachas.
Okay. And I mean, the Lashon of the Ramah in Shin Samach Tes is, Lo Yamrinan Dina de Malchusa Ella Bedava Shesh Bay Hanor Lemelech, one, Oishu Le Takonas B'nei Hamedina.
Exactly.
So this would certainly
Konas
be right. Okay.
That is means that Konas Bnei Medina, that the Bnei Medina should not be hurt by you going without a mask.
So now let's go to our case. Let's go to the third thing. Now there's the lady, your wife comes back and she says, Zalman, there was nobody wearing a mask. And I went to a Levi yesterday. Can I call the health department? What do you say?
Okay. Now that is a totally different issue, what I must admit. That is, I have a little bit of different opinion than other Rabbonim, because in Shulchan Aruch is not mentioned Din Mesire B'Melech.
Okay, Rabbi Graus, so now let's go back to your wife. What do you tell your wife?
Practically, I'll definitely bug off what you look for problems. You are not mechuyev to do that, and if you have a suffix why you should do that, you don't know the circumstances. And I will definitely say for everybody, bug off, why you should do it? Why is your obligation to do it? It's not halachic obligation.
I'll tell you what the halachic obligation is. Let's say you're walking down the street and you see Yeresh Hakol, somebody who could make tzaras for you. He's driving and drinking. Would you call the police or not? Or do you say, bug off, what's in my interest? He's going to kill somebody. He's not killing me. I'm going to be in my house. My kid lives in Williamsburg. He's not killing me or my kid, bug off. What would you say? We have a halacha, not like Kitty Genovese, where 100 people could walk by while they're attacking a woman, the famous case. We have a din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zalazeh, and the din of Lo Samid Al Dam Reyecha, right, goes to the core of Yiddishkeit. What's a contemporary case of Liston Burner love is a Reish HaKol or anybody driving with a bottle of Johnny Walker down the street. We have an obligation not to look the other way. That's the din. We're brothers.
No,
that's what the Torah teaches us.
You're 100% right. If it's a possibility that I'll call the police in our area and he will run after him and he will stop him,
right.
It's maybe I have to do that. But in practically, it doesn't work that way. I agree with you. I'm with you. I'm in ideologically, I'm with you. In halachically also. In practically, I'm what my practical I did with police. Well, I had once in the middle of the night, I was sleeping and people break in the store. I called the police. They came in half an hour, 45 minutes later.
I understand.
And they stood outside. They didn't even come in. They were afraid to come in. I went outside. I gave them a report. And what I did, I have. From that, nothing.
I understand.
That's impractical, what I'm dealing with police.
Okay.
If I see on the spot,
let's say you would be, let's talk in Lundish. If you see on the spot, you agree with. Your wife comes home. She says, I could call the health department. They're going to be there in 10 minutes. They're going to close the door. Does she do it or not?
That is a total different issue than you gave the first example. But here's the same thing. What will happen?
They're going to close the door.
They will give him a fine. They will close the door. And 15 minutes later, it will be open in the same situation. I practice. In fact, going in Borough Park, you will see what the fact is. The police, or they don't want, or they cannot. And they have another point. What can I tell you? I cannot. They say 90% of our community has already antibodies. And
Rabbi Grouse, let's talk.
Practically, it doesn't
work. I understand. But let's say it would work. Would it be the right thing to do?
Halachically.
Yes, but you're saying practically it really doesn't make a difference. She's going to be open 15 minutes later.
Yes. And I'll only cause damage for somebody for nothing. I cannot advise you anything like what's not practical. You have to be practically also, specifically in this kind of situation. In this kind of situation, what they say that is some discriminatory enforcement in this situation, that's what they claim, and maybe it is, maybe it is not, but if it is, they have a point. I cannot go in so much, it's very hard to go in details
understand. You're saying, like Judge Amy Coney Barrett said to the senator, it's hard for me to respond to hypothetical situations. And you believe since the police don't really enforce and since everybody's ignoring, these are hypothetical situations.
Yes.
Okay, I respect that. A dying lives in the real world, not in the world of Lundish. Let me ask you a question. A child molester. Your kid comes home and he says, somebody in the subway is molesting children. Would you call the police? And you believe him?
That really is a problem. What goes in changed recently? It changed a lot in our community, and it is a problematic, very problematic issue, because a child. I have it in practice. There are some children that the children doesn't know what they are talking, and there are some, unfortunately, are people what I know specifically in Sholem Bayis problems that. They teach the child what to say, and they learn the child. They had all professionals from that. That's from one end. From the other end, we unfortunately closed their eyes for many, many molesters that did a lot of harm. And what the solution is, I don't know. Some rabbis say, yes, you should give them over to the police. The others say, let's first do an inquiry. Unfortunately, I don't think that most rabbis are so much equipped. They have the way how to have a child, to evaluate the child's saying, and everyone. That is not, they are not, that is their practice. Not that is their. And halachically, is a child not being believed either. From the one end. From the other end,
Rabbi Grouse, let me walk. It's five children come. One child says, look, I know he did it to him, to him, to him, to him. The five children, they come to your Bezdin, and they say, and you believe them, and you believe them. You give it over or not?
I will definitely do all a way of punishment what I'm able to do, or give over for the police if I believe. But I must tell you very openly, and it's unfortunate, but that's what is the fact. The fact is not every Rov, every Koiling man, what became a Dayan, is capable to decide what to believe and what not to believe. I'm sorry tell you that.
Listen, Rabbi Grouse, I personally...
And the problem is the Second World too. Not every jury is capable to decide what really happened.
Look, I was involved in a case a year ago, where a 65-year-old teacher, 65-year-old lady in pre-1A or kindergarten in one of the big schools, she's been doing it for 40 years, one of the mothers came and said she's molesting her 3-year-old daughter. There hasn't been an accusation of what happened. This woman's been reading in the papers for the last 2 years all about molestation. So her kid come home one day and she said, my Mora kissed me, which this was like a very warm and loving Mora. The next thing you know, this Mora's arrested, created Mamash Churban. And why did they come to me? Because this Mora, the 65-year-old Rebbetzin, needed to go for psychological help. She was so traumatized by what they did in this story. So there's no doubt that there are overreactions. There are no doubt, you deal with divorces a lot. In divorces, the first thing they teach the woman to say is that the father's molesting the kids, right? Half of the things. So there's no doubt that it's like everything else in life. It could be very, these situations can be used to gain influence, to gain leverage, etc.
It works in both ways. On the one hand, you cannot ignore it, and a long time it was ignored. On the other hand, you cannot believe everybody what accusing. Every accusation you believe, you end up very wrong place.
Right.
There's no easy solution for that. No question. There's no easy solution. And what I will tell you, it is again, to go back, you have to evaluate the individual case by case by case. And your question has to be very evaluation. That doesn't mean that somebody will look up in Shulchan Aruch and decide. It has to be on the facts. And has to be evaluated with professionals, with more evidence. And if there is more evidence and cannot help, sometimes you help. You help this guy. You tell him to go in other place. Not always, also because the other place he will do the same thing. And sometimes there's no way only to give over for the police. There's no question about that. In some circumstances, you may give over for police.
So, Rabbi Grouse, let's go back to the case of the fellow who is hitting his wife. How would you respond to that?
Okay. Now, asking a question, somebody is hitting your wife. If it's in the middle of the hitting and you call the police to prevent the hitting, definitely you may and should do that, if this is the issue. But after he hit her, you have to do something. You separate them or whatever. Because even if you call the police, it won't help. I don't know if this is the solution. And halachically, I don't know if you may do that. Probably not. Because we are mixing a little bit Mesira with Akos. This has nothing to do with Mesira. It has to do with Niva. It has to do with another difference. For example, I'll tell you an example. Let's say they give an order of protection. Even let's say he hit her, it's not necessary that an order of protection is allowed to do, because he has his house. And if this house is his, and she, if he has, sometimes not. He married her, he has to give her an apartment, there's no question. But he cannot keep him out from the house because he hit halachically. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. At least this is a question that has to be dealt in the best. It's not a question that has to deal with the police, and give an order of protection without listening to both sides. But at the time, to prevent hitting further, definitely you may call the police.
Why aren't you a Moiser?
Moiser means not prevention. The same thing that she herself, as you said before, that you want to prevent somebody should hit the other, same way that she may hit him back to prevent The same thing may another person to do something for prevention. This is prevention is a different and
do you have a riot?
Prevention is a different, and this is something what's written aloud in the poskim that if you go first, why you call it moiser? You are not moiser if you do something for prevention. First, if you do something for lahatzil eshaloi, is not even a din moiser. You know that written in Shulchan Aruch. Moiser means that not when you want to lahatzil eshaloi. This is the same place is written. Lahatzil eshaloi is not din moiser. If you prevention, sometimes you are not allowed to do that. You have to the way how to do it. But this is definitely not called moiser.
You're saying that something that's for prevention is not moiser.
Prevention is not a moiser, no.
So let's go back to the case of all the cases I mentioned, the store, the drunken driving, they're all for prevention.
There is a future prevention, there is a spot of prevention. That's not
the same thing. I think it's on-the-spot prevention. A drunken driver is on-the-spot prevention.
No. There are prevention, preemption, and there is prevention. That's not the same thing. If somebody is coming to you in your house with a gun, you may call the police. Even not with a gun. He wants to break in. In Pasuk is written, you may, if you kill him, is in Zohar of Hashem, you know the Pasuk. Yes. But you're talking about Hariga, but definitely you may hit him. That's not something what Ibad. If I know a person that may come to me at night, and that doesn't mean that you may do that. This is definitely a chilik. Everything is a chilik, which is imminent, and something what's not imminent. You have an imminent sukkah in Shabbos, even Pikuach Nefesh. That doesn't mean that you may do something now for Chil Shabbos.
So Rabbi Grouse, if somebody would call you up and I say, I see the next door neighbor hitting his wife, could you call the police?
At the time when he's hitting, yes.
Yeah.
At the time of it. But I must tell you also, you never know what is behind doors. You never know who is hitting, who starts to it. You never know. You will have surprises.
Yeah,
you will have very, very surprises
Give us an example. You have a long history.
We were sitting at in Torah, and a wife accused the husband that he punched her, pushed her. And one of the rabbis asked her, "Give me the exact situation. What really happened?" It doesn't look right. If you see the husband, you see the wife, you would understand why he asked this question. She's saying, I hit him, and he tried to run away, and I stood in the door. I didn't let him run away, and he pushed me away. He ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you more than that. I had another issue. I had another issue. I didn't tell you that I had this. I wouldn't like give you too many details, but it was actually in Torah that in a hotel, Pesach, there was a fist fight with a lady and a male. And was it in Torah? And she said it in Torah. But even if I start with him, she said it. But he's a male. He should not hit me.
Right.
You hear that?
Yeah.
You cannot see. You have to see the entire episode. You cannot see middle of an episode. You have to be very careful who is the roidef, who is the nirdef. It's not always so. Yes, most of the time is the husband is the roidef and she is the nirdefest. But sometimes it goes around the other way. It's not totally clear. And you call the police. I'm only saying sometimes you mix in something what you don't know exactly the situation. And believe me, sometimes she wouldn't advise you to call the police. Many times it is some hitting going around, but she knows she loves him, and she knows that maybe she starred or whatever, and she wouldn't like to mix in the police. Not always you do a favor for her. Not always. You have to see under the circumstances. Therefore, I didn't want to ask you this kind of question. This kind of question is very particular and very not halakhic so much, also factual questions. But people make a mistake. And you don't know who is the Roidev, who is the Nirev. And you have to ask her first if she wants to call the police.
Rabbi Graus, it's wonderful talking to a Talmud Chacham who also knows where the rubber meets the road and knows how practically how the halacha plays out. It's always an honor to have you on with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kol tov, good sir. Bye-bye.
Joining us from Eretz Yisrael, a very well-known, a brilliant young Rav, Reb Shmuel Wina. Welcome, Reb Shmuel.
So we want to speak about Mesira.
Okay.
And we'll start with COVID. Okay, because it's just in the news. So let's say somebody goes to a grocery store. There's a big sign, nobody enter, without, please do not enter without a mask. Well, there isn't. And you go inside, and it's like La Yehudim, nobody's wearing a mask. It's indoors, which makes it, you know, really dangerous. There's a multitude of people. There's a person allowed to say, you know what? You go over to the owner, you say, listen, excuse me, there's a magefa going on now. Could we? I think most people would agree that this is a magefa. Thousands and thousands of Eden have died. You know, could you please? And the guy just says no.
Yeah.
Could the person pick up the phone and call the health department and say, this and this grocery store, this and this, whatever it may be, I'm using a grocery store as a mushel.
Right.
Could you please come down and close it? I want to save some Jewish lives. What would you say?
Okay. In general, when there is a danger, physical danger to people, and doctors are agreeing that it's a danger, and this person is putting other people physically in danger, and after we speak to him, we give him asra, and we ask him to act accordingly, and he doesn't listen, then it will be right to do whatever you can in order to be safe, in order to create a prevention over here of danger. In this specific case, where there's a lot of unknown, and also there's so many people that are getting COVID, and it is not a danger to their health, it's really a question if we consider it a physical danger enough that one could call and report it to the authorities. In the beginning, definitely, in the beginning when we had much less of an idea of how this spreads and works, so then yes. Then at that point, if one was warned to keep to the rules and they're not keeping to the rules, so then it will be permitted to speak to the authorities. Now that
I just don't want to conflate points. Let's go piece by piece.
Fine.
Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that somebody who's doing an avla, you have to warn him, right? So the question is, the fact that it's in every newspaper, it's the only item you hear on the news, social distance. People are dying. I mean, would you consider this person Musra of Oymed? A guy who's Messiah Shtaris, you could say, you know, maybe he lived in a basement. He's a kid. He got his hands on a copy machine. He doesn't realize the danger he's putting the community in. But Allah is, you have to be Masra him. I mean, I don't think you could find a person in Klal Yisrael today who has an IQ of over 70 who hasn't heard of how dangerous it is. Would that constitute Hasra?
Okay, so in certain scenarios, yeah. However, over here, where there's such a lack of people listening to the rules, so many people are not keeping quarantining, so many people are walking around without masks, and the ones that are doing it are just doing it for not to get a fine or to get closed down. So I don't know how serious the owner is taking that which he knows. But if we are minding him that this is a serious thing for people, and if you're not going to act properly, or work it out with us. And us included in Hasra, the way I understand Hasra is more than just warning him. Hasra is, let's try to work this out so we don't have to come to reporting it to the authorities. If he's not willing to work with us and it's dangerous, for enough danger to be considered physically dangerous, then he's Mustervayimi.
Okay, now let's go back to your second point. You said in the beginning, for sure, you could warn the guy and call the police, call the health department, right?
Right.
What about,
as a matter of fact, beginning, I do believe what you said was true, where it was everyone was taking it very seriously. This guy should be under the impression, he knows how serious it is. Every morning, unfortunately, he woke up to hearing unfortunate news from someone that you knew or someone that you know their children that was critically ill, passing away. So then I hear the idea of Mustervayimi. I was just saying that now.
Okay, let's talk about now.
Okay, so now where things are sort of people are, it's just spreading and people are getting it. We're still hearing people, unfortunately, dying from it, but the general cloud, it's spreading through the cloud. People are getting, I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but I think we would have to speak to the owner of the store in this example and tell him, look, there are elderly people. There are people that cannot catch it for health reasons, for other reasons, for many other reasons, and therefore you should be following the safety rules that are being laid out by the health ministry, and let's try to work this out. And if he doesn't work it out, then you could.
So you say
if he says no?
So you could today, too,
yeah.
You're saying. You would call the health department, too.
Yeah.
You would. Now, you realize Rabbi Sternbuch came out with a tshuva about this where he didn't agree with that. And he said...
I was not there to so when he came out with that
Okay,
letter.
And basically,
therefore,
I'm
sure
not
you've
seen the letter.
You sent it to me. I only saw it. You sent it.
Yeah. Now, and he says no. You have to go to a Beis Din and a Rav, and the Rav has to do it. And
so that's what I'm saying. You could work it out. This idea of going to a Beis Din or going to a Rav is in order to work it out. And not always do you have to go to Beis Din to work it out. The Nechizitzik has a chiddush about going to Beis Din, and many times Beis Din does have the power, but not always does one have to go to Beis Din.
But I just want to ask you a question. If you see somebody running after somebody with a stick, do you call Beis Din or do you call the police?
You call the police.
So a guy's got a supermarket full of people, and you believe that there's danger, and for example, we just spoke to the head of Bikachayla Malakut. He says there have been 10
mm-hmm.
deaths, 10 deaths
mm-hmm.
in the last few weeks there, right? I was on a Levaya there last night of a real Yadid of mine. So isn't that the equivalent of...
Yeah.
No, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Misha, Adam Chashev Mai.
Right.
This week there were three deaths in Lakewood this week, all Rabbanim, all Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Waldman, Rabbi Weinstock.
Right.
So you go into a supermarket, it's full of people out. To me, you call the Rav, the Rav's going to say, yeah, I can see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. There could be a dead person by then.
Right. I agree. That's why I said what I said. That I think we have, but there is still this laxness of the severity of it. And therefore, I think first we could speak to the owner and tell him, look, you're right, calling the Rav many times, it will not get done right away. But still, I think it's
The owner may not be aware of it. He may not be. What is you say? You do the polite thing. You go over to the owner.
Exactly.
Okay.
And sometimes it works better even. It works better because I'm not trying to shove anything under the carpet. I don't believe in that. However, a lot of times it works better because once it comes to the authorities, so the owner says, okay, it's worth paying the fine and I don't have to be meshubit to the rules. But if we could work it out with him, definitely if there's a rub involved or Beis Din could speak to him, it does.
But
does one have to do that?
That's not going to happen immediately, right? In other words, when there's something urgent in front of you, right, you call the police, you don't call the... Let me ask you a question.
Right.
I have a question. The whole issue of Raidif here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rav Sternberg says, you know, it's a Suffolk Raidif, you don't know exactly, therefore you should ask the Rav. I have two questions. The Din Raidif is in the Gemara abroad in two or three places, right?
Right.
The case in the Gemara in Raidif is, one is in the Sugya of Raidif, is really in Hagayzel Basra and Dafkofi Zion. Where the Gemara talks about Rav Kana, who was threatened by somebody who was going to go to the government. So he killed him.
Right.
And the Gemara says, how could he kill him? So the Gemara says, the Gemara darshins from a pasuk, Banecha Elfei Shichvei Ketai. He says, when they catch a shayer in a trap, he says, they end up killing the shayer, right? It's like a shayer in a pit.
Right.
So he says, Jews, even if they're maisi yamamain in the olden days, he says, they would torture them. Is this all the money you have? You must have something buried someplace. All Jews are rich, of course, right? And of course all Jews are rich, right? So they kill them. So it's clearly the Din Raidif. A lot of people think it's in the Aseres HaDibris, right? Certain parts of us, it's like Maisa. I'm sorry, the Din of Maisa, they think it's in the Aseres HaDibris. Maisa is not any place in the Torah, right? But Maisa is also Raidif because the Gemara says they're gonna, if they catch the Jew for money, they're going to end up killing him. It's one case.
Right.
The second place you have it is the case of Rav Shilai at the end of Brachas.
Right.
The same thing.
Right.
No, he says, I'm going to give you over to the government. I'm going to kill him. So I want to ask you a question. Let's say in a case where you weren't master the guy, you're doing it wrong. You look through the window, you pick up the health department. Rav Sternberg would say, without Hasra, Shaila v'maisa. What? Are they going to kill this guy? You think that in either in Israel, in Sanhedrin or Chevet, or in Muncie, or in Brooklyn, the police are coming, you had the health department is coming, shoot the Jew, he had his store open without masks. I mean, doesn't the Hashva border on the absurd?
Right. Okay, so this already enters into the general discussion of nowadays, is there Issa Mesira, where we all know the Aruch HaShulchan, whether it was written for the censors or not written for the censors, that would seem to say that nowadays there is no Issa Mesira because of this reason, and especially if it's a fair government with legislative rules and going with fair punishments. And we do know that there are places that follow this opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. There are other opinions that say that depends on Dina Machus Adina, but Rav Maisha.
Wait, let me just go before you go to Rav Maisha. Respectfully, it goes way before the Aruch HaShulchan, the Beis Yitzchak, right?
Correct, the Beis Yitzchak, correct.
Which is before the Aruch HaShulchan.
I agree. But the Beis Yitzchak limits it to only certain cases, like similar to Dina Machus Dina and ideas like that, if I remember correctly.
He says, I'll read his language, Bizman Azeh, Lehavi Din Raidif, Dein Chshash Bizman Azeh, And Rabbi Yashiv also in the Kaivis Chuvis. Rabbi Yashiv says,
That's right. When I said there are Paiskim that follow the opinion of Aruch HaShulchan, I agree. Rabbi Yashiv seems to quote similar Lashonis to Aruch HaShulchan. That is correct.
Right.
However, we have Rav Moshe, and the idea behind Rav Moshe's Chuva is that even though they're not going to kill them, but they're going to take from them or punish them in a way that they don't deserve to be punished. And that also we have a responsibility. Our job here is to prevent the danger, not to punish. We're not out to punish. So if you're calling the authorities to punish him, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to prevent. So therefore, if in any way they're going to punish him more than the punishment he deserves, al pi dinei Torah, then we have to first take the steps of trying to work that ourselves. If it cannot work out ourselves, then we need to go to the next step of, now sometimes you're right, we don't have time for that.
So wait, so let me just respond, okay?
Okay.
Let me just respond to this, okay? Because obviously you're a very big Talmud Chacham, Rav Shmuel. The Gris Moshe that you're referring to, it's in a few places, but let's say the one in Chayshu Mishpat Nechelik Aleph Simen Ches.
Right.
He says, Im Yadoinu B'Maiser U'B'Mamayin, with jail, right?
Right.
Now, I could see somebody saying, you know, and I actually know somebody, he served time on Rikers Island,
right.
And he said, he could be Pikuach Nefesh over there.
Right.
Like, you know, he said, or, you know, you go to some of these, certainly if it's even a medium, you know, jail, and the, you know, not the federal, not the club feds, but a medium jail.
Right, right.
He says, if you don't know how to answer this and that, it's, is it a Dava Rachik? Yes. Could it come to Pikuach Nefesh? You know, there are gangs in these jails, et cetera.
I understand.
Right. But if you're going to say Mr. Fish in his grocery is not having masks, he's not going to a medium security jail. Right? So going back to that, isn't it absurd to compare this to the dinim of Moiser of the Gemara, where it's Ketoy Michmar and it's Al Pikuach Nefesh?
Yeah. I agree to that, but what should we say? I bow to those greater than me, and that's Rav Moshe felt that still.
No, but he says B'maiser. Rav Moshe says B'maiser.
The idea, this is why I understand the idea he's bringing out, even though you're right, times have changed. He knows that times have changed. And it's still not that they're going to torture him.
Jail could still be a serious thing. Now, let me ask you another thing
here.
Yes. But Herschel Schechter, and he's not the only one. I mean, let me give you a whole body. He just said it the most succinctly. You have a Ponzi schemer, right?
Right.
He gets thrown in jail. Well, somebody else who did some act that it's not for mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, right? He's in jail. Mm-hmm. If I rope the Sach mention, he stole from a lot of people.
Right.
Now they want to do pidyon shvuyim to get him out. Because jail could be dangerous.
Right.
So the Shevet Levi, who was a very right wing, for my listenership, those who don't know, I mean, Rav Ozner was the rightest wing, B'nai Brak, Machmir, right?
Right.
He says, Kivan She'ein Sakonis Nefashis, right? You should not do Ishtablus La Noshim Ke'ela. I mean, Pidyon Shvuyim was not meant to release predators into society.
Right.
And Rav Shlomo Zalman said the same thing, is brought down. He said they wanted to take a guy out, and he said, Adarabba, what do you want to release this guy for? He's going to... So would you agree that the whole concept of, like, we sort of look at law as our enemy?
Right.
But in a society, and I should say, at least America today, and Chas V'Shalom, it could change, because Jews are, you know, we've had 2,000 years in Gullus, and we've had 30 good years. I mean, so let's not get too excited here. But at least in our current situation, the police and laws are not our enemy, but they're for the most part to keep, you know, perpetrators, maybe thieves, rapists, murderers at bay, and... The concept of Masira seems a little strange when these are the people who are here to protect us. That's sort of Rav Shecht and sort of the Aruch HaShoah. Would you give us some color on that?
Right. I agree to that, and I take that into Cheshbon 100%. But again, at the same time, if we could do something more peacefully, it really depends on the situation. It depends on the situation. You know, you have abusers running around, and someone calls you, this and this guy is known to be an abuser, he just moved to your community, you got to take care of it. There's no time. We have to take care of it. So you can
start making a cheshbon. But what about Lashon Hara first? I get
that
all the time. Every time we do a program on abusers, somebody starts screaming Lashon
Hara. There's 2 points. I agree. There's Lashon Hara, and there's number two, also, who's being made? It's many times children who said, or adults that went into a trauma and are exaggerating. You're right. Research has to be done immediately to make sure that what you're about to believe or repeat is really true. That is 100% true. There's a Chuvis, you probably know, Shalom Meshev, I think, talks about the Nemanis. of Ketanis when they grew up. They want to be made on what they happened when they were younger. So again, yeah, research has to be done, but we research. It's true.
Which, now, which by the way, when you say research has to be done, even forgetting about halacha, if somebody goes to the police and they complain, Yossel is molested somebody, right?
Right.
I mean, you're doing an incredible harm to this fellow.
Correct.
This guy gets
and
arrested.
His family.
And his family. So clearly, this is something that should be done after real investigation, because from a mental point of view.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you believe there's, Rav Yashiv calls it Raglayim Ladava, right?
Right. And I want to add to that, because of all that's what I was getting to, in such an instance of where it's going to affect him, his family, and so many other outcomes of this, then, of course, we're going to have to take him to Cheshbon also immediately. We call the police. He gets thrown into jail. He learns new tricks, gets out, and the family. We have to take all that into consideration. But if there is no choice, then we got to call the authorities to deal with it.
Define choice. What does no choice mean?
If this person already went for help, and this person already was spoken to by let's take a real good therapist, Rabbanim, or people were involved in the case, and those people are saying now that this person is a sickness by the person, and if he's not locked up, it's dangerous.
So you think that for somebody to report a molester that he believes there's real proof, that there's real nemanis, that this guy is guilty, he has to first get a psychologist to sign off, etc.?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that in each situation it has to be dealt with. Depends how loose he is. Depends where he is. What's happening. Sometimes if you have a molester in school, we could call over the teacher and work out that he should go for help, and at the same time find him a job somewhere where he doesn't have to deal with children or other people. We could set him up in a way that he could get what he needs and put him on his feet.
Yeah, but respectfully,
sometimes that's not possible.
I don't mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
You know, here's where I would say, you know, it's commendable to say, look, this was a one-time event and he's not going to do it again. But we had once Rav David Cohn said, he said these molesters, they're like potato chips. Nobody just has one potato chip. It's a disease, right? And we societally, nobody has the time to follow these people around. And the world is full of molesters who are chased out of one community. They go to another community, and 10 lives later, churbanis later, they're then thrown out of that community. Then they move to Eretz Yisrael. So are we societally actually, isn't that what the authorities are for? I mean, are we societally? 100%.
It's a matter of fact, I agree to you even more than that. I think by pushing it off, calling the authorities in that case where he was already dealt with and he moved to another community, is creating a tremendous chil Hashem when it gets out for us, that we didn't deal with it properly by speaking to the authorities. Again, it's hard to answer this question, and Baruch Hashem, I don't get that many of these questions that I have to answer on. But again, to just push it off, definitely not. If it's needed to call the authorities, yes.
Okay. Question. So let me just. You have a guy. He's known as a molester. Is there any Lashon Hara to get up and warn people when he moved to the community?
If he's known to be one?
He was thrown out of the community as a molester. Is Lashon Hara meant to be used as a way to protect predators?
Not at all. The Chofetz Chaim constantly says we're in a struggle between Lesamed Adam Re'acha and Lesedech Racha. Lesamed Adam Re'acha, we need to make sure that people are warned about these people. You have the mitzvah of Lesamed Adam Re'acha.
Okay, let me ask you another question, Shmuel. You have a person in the neighborhood who's a bad driver. He's either a drunk driver, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a wild driver, etc. Can you call the police and say, in my neighborhood, there's so-and-so, he's a wild driver. Can you please come and either stop him, arrest him, investigate him, or is that a Shiloh of Mesira?
Okay, so I think this is a good example of, in many cases, not always, in many cases where if a Rav or someone with authority calls him over first and says to him, look, you're a danger, you're a meitzel l'rabim, you're a danger to the rabim, and either you're going to shape up or we're going to have to call the authorities, then that's what we'll do. But sometimes, you know the guy. He's not listening to you. And he is a danger. So of course you call the authorities. And the shadow comes up many times when a son has to call on his father for different reasons.
Or he's beating his mother or something.
That's right. That's when it gets difficult. My kibba avim, or do I call the authorities? And yeah, you call the authorities.
Now, have you ever had to deal with such a case?
I did, but Baruch Hashem, I have Rebbeim that I could send them to.
As an aside,
yeah.
Most Frumma people believe that spousal beating is a myth, and it only happens by Gayim. Is that true?
Okay. I don't know if this is for a radio show, but unfortunately, it's not true. But I believe that we're definitely much better. We have less of a percentage of it. I was actually in one of these instances. I was called down to the police station because they gave him my name as their Rav, even though I'm not their Rav. And the police complained to me that they get called to the houses of religious people. And when they get there, all of a sudden, when they open the door, there's no problem. But they were being called that one was being beaten by the other. And so we do have a name for that. But again, we're definitely much better than by the Goyim, and we do try to, for some reason, keep it quiet. But again, in each situation has to be dealt with.
Right. Well, Rav Shmuel, thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Call
it
tough. Call it tough.
Yeah, bye-bye.